This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 60 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is the 13th, right? Is that, what day is it even anymore? Is it the 11th?
It's the 11th.
It is the 11th.
Are you
somebody
okay?
Somebody actually changed it for me. It said the 11th, and I'm like, well, we're doing this 2 days late, and I haven't changed the date, so...
Oh, I changed it last night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, got it.
I changed it today.
It's March 11th. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another fabulous episode of The Payload. We've got a great show in store for you. From Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. Let's first jump over to... I haven't done my placementsville, California, to the one and only master tier Mercy. Oh, Rush. Hey, Rush.
Hey, I think that we have several iTunes reviews stating that you should probably learn where I live so that you can announce it on the podcast. I just want to say iTunes reviews are never wrong, so you should probably get on that, John.
Never wrong.
Exactly. Well, the 5-star reviews are never wrong. I'm excited to be here this week. We had to push it off a couple of days. I've been sick this week, so it's been a mess, but I'm excited to finally be here with you guys. I'm excited for the show. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
Yes, we do. Let's jump over though to Camarillo, California with Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, great to be on the show. It's always a highlight of my week talking about Overwatch. And I'm not happy with Overwatch, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, Jimmy. It's been a week, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch and any other cool things going on. Jimmy, let's start out with you. Get it out of the way. Rip that Band-Aid off.
So I'd been putting off doing my placement matches, and then I did a bunch of just real life stuff that I needed to get done on Friday that I'd been kind of putting off, and just got a lot of stuff done in real life that needed to be lined up. And I finished that like 1 o'clock on Friday. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to just crank out my placement matches. I'm going to stream them and have some fun with it. I went 5-5, which is, that's in the perfect world in quotes. That's where you want your matchmaking to be is 50% win rate. So you're winning as much as you're losing. But, yeah. So I got that done and I got placed very, very low. I'm not going to talk about the number. I'm going to try to get it up before we talk again about it.
Okay.
But
all right.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Just to put in perspective,
Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay. So season two, I started out in 2100.
Yeah.
I'm way below that.
What did you get in season three? Because between season two and season three, you remember if you were at a certain threshold of points, you did your season three placements. You basically, if you were above that threshold, no matter what you got in your placements, you were going to place where you ended season three. And if you were below that placement, Kaplan came out and said, we're going to place you lower because there are too many people. I think it was in Diamond that they were saying that there were too many people there. So I think I think what happened is you might have gotten kind of screwed in this elo loop.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened to a lot of people. A lot of people have been tweeting me and coming to my stream saying, you know, I placed this on my main account, but then I rolled a new account and then I placed 2,000 points higher. So it's like, I think that there's something between season two and season three that's kind of screwed people over that a lot of people have fixed by getting new accounts, which kind of sucks. But I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I think a couple of our listeners, though, did tweet to me and said that they got placed similarly, and but they were able to grind up to silver and stuff. So we'll see. Right. I'll play some more competitive. I'm not sure. I did these all solo and didn't do any join his group or stay on his team or anything like that, because I feel like that's a trap. Because then all of a sudden, oh, everyone's like, yeah, we won really easy that game. Let's all group up together. And then you're up against a six stack with
people you played
one game with. Like, come on.
Yeah.
There's one type of person that I will duo gu with, and that's a Pocket Ana or a Pocket Mercy. Because when you're duoing with someone, when you know that you can do well and you know that you have somebody who you trust to heal you, it totally changes the game. At least for me, it's totally changed how I've kind of played the game and played my favorite heroes. So I'm all solo queue almost all the time. There's a couple people I'll duo queue with, but like with random people. People are like, hey, you wanna group up? Like, were you Ana and did you heal me the whole time? Then no.
I did that a few times in season three. It was like, oh yeah, we won really good, and then it just becomes a disaster after that. Yeah. But I mean, I tried to flex as much as I could and make sure we had a balanced team comp every game. I seem to do pretty well on Roadhog though, which surprised me just because I haven't put a whole lot of time into him, but he's definitely a lot of fun, and I enjoy his style. But I still haven't decided if I'm going to do the whole season solo or duo or
get two accounts at some point. Dude, we'll get two accounts.
I know, that's and
like,
to do.
Like my main one is going to be the one that I just kind of do whatever on. It's going to be the one that I stream on when Rosh and I aren't doing our things. Like, yeah, do a duo account and then ask Shadow to level it to 25 for you. Because I couldn't do it. I could not do it for the life of me.
Oh, is that what happened? Because I know you finally got from 22 to 25. I thought you just made yourself sit down and actually grind out the quick play. I had no idea that you put that responsibility on someone else, John.
Hey, oh, I'm my the one, oh, for the record, I am the one that dinged 25.
Okay, still, right. Did he so like stop one game before you hit 25? He went from 22
to 24.8, and I got the remaining 20%. Wow. It was a full hold on Route 66, and I got my first win of the day bonus. So it was like 7,000 experience for 10 minutes. Oh, the way I like my life to be.
For those of you watching live, totally not Overwatch related, but remember to set your clocks forward 1 hour tonight. Oh, yeah. is daylight savings time. So
or get a smartphone.
There you go.
Well, just, it automatically changes. It's 2017, Jimmy.
Jeez. Oh, that's too funny. So anyways, let's talk. Rosh, you've been giving me a hard time, so I think it's my turn. Rosh, how did your week in Overwatch go?
My week in Overwatch was non-existent, okay? There it is. You got me. It's non-existent. I have wanted to play so badly. I have been craving playing Overwatch ranked, and it has taken everything because I really don't want to do my placements off of stream. I know that my stream really enjoys watching me do my placements and seeing where I place and how many games I win, how many I lose. If I play support only, I normally do it solo queue, so they like seeing a solo queue support and where they can place at. So I haven't wanted to rob my stream of that. So I haven't wanted to play Overwatch off of stream, and I haven't been streaming because first I sprained my wrist moving couches into my apartment, and then I got really freaking sick, and I've been really sick the last few days. So it's just been a lot of misfortune all in a week. So I've been trying. I don't know how I haven't done it yet. I don't know how I haven't done my placements. I want to so badly. So maybe tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, we'll be able to do them on stream and then just knock all of them out and get some grinding hours in to see how far high we can get.
How far high can we get?
I'm sick. I'm sick. So you can't blame me.
Oh, yeah. Well, as for me, I actually had a pretty productive week in Overwatch. I got the other account to 25. Thanks, Shadow. And I'm actually up about 700 points on PC from where I placed. And I actually hit my career high. So if you guys have been following the show at all, you know that almost exclusively, I've been a console shooter player my entire life and was playing basically primarily on a console. Got up to Diamond. My high on that is about 3,400. I'm like 100 away from Masters now. And, you know, whatever. That was great. I'm like, you know what? It's time to finally man up and learn the PC shooter life. And so I've been doing that and I've been grinding up slowly. But I've been playing. And so I'm up. I'm almost to platinum already. And that feels pretty good. And Rosh thinks that I can get to platinum pretty easily.
Yeah.
As long as I have a pocket mercy, basically. I guess that's what she means.
From when we were playing, it seemed pretty attainable to at least go to platinum. So we'll have to see on these new accounts. And on our new accounts, I told you on Twitter, I think we're going to place at like 2700 area. So I think it'll be super easy to get there.
That'll be really interesting. I can't wait to try that out. Before we do jump into the news, I do have a quick shout out. This is pretty cool. I was streaming this. And so we have an inside joke on my stream. It's called KT Nice Mike. People type it in chat. I don't have any emotes. So we just type it and just the words go there. But no joke, at least I would say once an hour, somebody says something about my microphone and how nice it sounds. So it's KT Nice Mike. This was a little bit different though. So, somebody comes in and her name's Alexandra and it was on this account called Fen. And she goes, are you the kick tripod? I was like, yeah, I guess. And she's been a longtime listener and supporter of Well Met. Heard my voice through her husband's either speaker or whatever, or she was watching it somewhere else, recognized the voice, ran into the other room to say hi. So I have to say shout out to you guys. It was amazing. So cool. Fenn is an amazing Reinhardt. I actually got matchmade against him today and we beat them because my Zarya play is amazing, but he, he held down their team as Reinhardt. So big shout out to Fen and Alexandra. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
First and foremost, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Corel, Tommy H, and Liam O. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like the show, want to see it continue, wanted to see it improve, have us be able to like stream really cool things after the show and throughout the week, like John and Rosh's little experiment that we just talked about. Support us. Patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. We'd love to hang out with you. We're also hanging out in Discord at discord.gg/blizzpro. You can head over there as well. We have really great conversations and we're all streaming too. So make sure to come follow us on our personal streams and Twitters. Guys, I'm like 6 people away now from 1,000 followers on Twitter.
Oh, really?
I've never been so vain about my Twitter followers, but now I'm like that close. I'm like, want that number.
What's going to suck is when you get to 1,000 and you hit like 1,001 and then you wake up and you're constantly going through like, oh, I lost a follower. Now I'm under 1,000. Oh, I gained a follower. Now I'm back over until you get to the point where you're like at 1,010 and then you're kind of good for a few.
So people don't unfollow me first. There's that.
Okay.
actually, they do quite a bit. But I also I block all bots immediately. So I don't have like weird companies following me and weird bots. So
you don't have an uneven number for a week. Yeah.
Right. Or it's like,
oh, I don't care about that. That's why I have so many.
it's all those porn bots. Wanting to check out my cam, Jimmy. Anyways, all right, let's talk about it. We already talked about our little experiment, right, Rosh? Well, let's just remind people, because I'm going to make a sounder for this week. Rosh and I, we have fresh accounts. They're 25s, haven't touched competitive. we're going to see how far high we can take them this season and going forward. So, yeah.
No.
I'm just curious. Maybe when you guys stream it, or if you are streaming it, take down the data of like what you get placed up against, because you're not always going to be up against people doing placements. You'll get some of those people that are ranked already.
Right.
So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And I want to see if we can enroll some of our active chat members into stat tracking for us. So we can kind of keep very specific stats tracked throughout it. Might be a really fun thing to do. So we're going to be doing that. I think we're planning on, if we're both going to stream it, we're going to multi-twitch it. So you can go to multitwitch.tv and you can see both streams at once. So you can kind of see my point of view and then what a good point of view looks like with Rosh's.
okay. Rosh's, I thought you were going to make it. Okay. Yeah.
I am fair and balanced. Okay. And so we're going to be doing that and it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be updating you every week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyways, we need to start talking about actual Overwatch news this week. And we got a new comic this week called Binary. It's about Bastion and Torbjorn and how they met. It's about 5 years after the Omnic Crisis, I believe, which was just after Reflections.
Mm-hmm.
That's it there. And it's kind of interesting. Jimmy, do you want to take us through briefly the comic?
Yeah, so spoiler territory here. Sound the alarm.
But basically,
it's this town and this government group is like, oh, we've seen this Omnic. Or basically, it starts out these teenagers find Bastion out in the woods because they're doing things.
Were they out at like you make out teenagers? Lookout? Were they,
yes, where they pretty were? Much. Yeah, yeah. Something okay. like that. But yeah, and so they panic like, oh my gosh, Bastion, because it's been 5 years since the Omnic Crisis. All they can think of is this thing is going to kill us. They run back to the town. The town tries to figure out what they're going to do. And this one, the mayor, or I forget what he is. He's some political leader of this
mayor
town. And he's
D-bag.
Like,
oh, that's what we'll call
mayor
him.
D-bag. Mayor yes. D-bag. Mayor D-bag. Mayor D-bag. Basically a call for arms, and then Torb comes out of nowhere and he's like, hey, I'll deal with this because I've worked with these
joke?
Machines before.
He comes out of nowhere?
Pretty
is that
much.
A short joke, Jimmy? Wow.
Interesting, Jimmy.
That's how the comic presented it.
Uh-huh.
It was Aragorn. It reminded me of Aragorn in the Fellowship of the Ring. That's what it reminded me of. He's just hanging back in the green dragon, just smoking on his pipe, and he's like, them Bastions, I know everything about them.
Wow, that's what he sounds like? Wow, I need to go back and watch the movies because I must have forgotten that.
Them Bastions.
Wow, yeah. That's a great impression. All right. Anyway, comes out of nowhere,
Jimmy. Let's hear your Torbjorn, Rosh.
No. Oh, no, okay. No. Mine's non-existent.
Yeah, great. Very big of you. That wasn't a short joke, by the way.
Anyway, Jimmy, continue.
Sorry. So Torb meets up with Bastion, realizes that he's not dangerous anymore or has feelings, I guess. We don't really know, but Torb is basically
has
like
feelings?
Don't
is that canon?
Yes.
Yeah. Torb has feelings for Bastion. Okay.
No. That Bastion has feelings and empathy. It isn't on a murderous rampage as a robot.
How to misinterpret Blizzard lore at the Payload podcast.
This is why there's so many weird Overwatch subreddits, by the way, because stuff like this gets twisted into oblivion.
Okay.
Yeah, the motion comic is awesome. I downloaded the app on my phone and had it playing with all the audio and stuff. And
there's an app.
Check it out. There's an app. For Apple TV as well.
Oh, for like a comic reading app. Okay, yeah. Got it. I thought they had like a dedicated Overwatch comic app. And I'm like,
what?
What rock have I been living under?
You'd be like the first to hear about that. You'd hear about it before the news release came out, I feel like.
How far low beneath the rock have I been?
You've been
how far low?
All day.
How far
you don't read the news, you just play Overwatch.
Fair enough. So that's the rough story. I hope you enjoyed this, the payload podcast version. let's talk about some of our reactions here. So Rosh, I'm sure that you thought Bastion was adorable and you love how Torbjorn and Bastion have this little love fest going on.
Yeah, I was okay. Well, maybe not so much the love fest because that gets into. We're just gonna leave that
one
alone.
It's totally Gimli and Legolas, by the way. It's totally
Actually, kind of is. It kind of, except we have no idea what Bastion's saying because all of his lines are just beep boop wee woo the entire time. So we could just kind of assume
that's
what
offensive.
Says,
you can't say that on a podcast. I'm gonna have to go bleep that out now.
Can you unlock that voice line?
You can't say that in Omnic on this show. Okay, we have rules with the FCC. Like you can't just. Spurting robotic profanities.
I've ruined it. But no, I thought it was kind of cute to see because before this comic, it seemed like Torp hated everyone. His in-game lines and all of that. Like he just was a very mad dwarf. Just very stubborn. Mad. So it was cool seeing them bond, I guess, through the comic as much as you could from inferring what they were saying with each other. But I think it was cool at the end. Because at the end, he was like, what was it that he exactly said? I have to go back.
No, the translation of what Bastion said was, how's your 15 children?
Well, I think Torm said, and second of all, I need you to interact with the animals or something like that. He said something cute at the end. I can't.
Not. And he goes, hey, what did I just say? Leave that squirrel alone or something like that.
So I thought it was a good comic. I was actually just thinking about this a week ago. It's been a little while since we've gotten a comic. We had the lunar year, right? That's what it was called. We had that little slideshow, but that didn't really count.
Yeah, it wasn't a comic. It was like the special scroll.
But before that, I think the last comic. Yeah, and that was a while ago. So it was cool to see that they were still interested in putting out these comics. Yeah.
Controversy. I know, it's the worst. So Jimmy, what do you think about this one? Where does it land in your Overwatch comic favorites?
It's kind of middle of the road for me. I mean, it's cute and all, but I don't know. It didn't do much for me.
Fair enough.
It's nice, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much
Jimmy's
more to say
than
that.
Jimmy's not an Omnic sympathizer, so
no.
When you get one of those, it just kind of
give me a somber comic, please.
You got a somber short. Selfish Jimmy. So I liked it. I really liked it. I loved the cover of the comic, which is like. Straight up out of like a 60s horror movie kind of thing where it's Bastion all covered in like starfish.
Oh yeah. And it has, yeah, that was, like I seaweed. Opened the comic and I was like, what is this about to be about? Okay. And then it was interesting.
I thought it was really cool. So I really like that. I don't like the stereotypical like guy who's so uber protective that he's messing everything up. Like, hey, this wouldn't have been a problem if this guy wasn't screwing up the whole time kind of thing. But besides that, I thought it was great. Better than the McCree comic, Kevin. And I really liked it. So I really think that I just want more. Just want more lore. I wish that we got a new piece of lore like every week, whether it's a comic, a short, a blog, like the Atlas News thing, stuff like that. Just anything to keep that going because right now there's just so many unanswered pieces. And it's not like, oh, it's a mystery and it's fun. It's like we can barely make educated guesses about what's going on because we just know so little. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that makes them canceling that that comic. The physical one.
Oh yeah, with the Dark Knight,
that much
Black
harder,
Knight
yeah.
comics or whatever.
Yeah,
Dark Horse. People are gonna hate me for butchering that one. If you're a comic fan, I missed comics. I think by like 2-3 years. I think
it's never too late to start.
It is too expensive though. So yeah. Let's
okay. I'll give you that.
Let's go on to this one. Oh man, Rush. This is why you've had such. This is why you're sick.
This is why you're sick. Yeah, clearly.
You've had such an emotional week with what had happened on the PCR that it just puts you out cold. So on the PTR, all right, I'm just going to open up the PTR. So I'm going to butcher it if I try to do it from memory. So on the PTR, Anna, here's what it reads. Bionic rifle damage decreased from 80 to 60. Rosh does a backflip. Bionic grenade impact damage reduced and impact healing reduced by 50%. So from 60 to 30 and 100 to 50. Rosh is literally backflipping off of balconies into pools. She's helping old ladies cross the street. She's so excited.
I was actually so excited on my Twitter about it that I'm pretty sure a couple Anamains unfollowed me from my Twitter. Like, I know of at least one professional Anamain that unfollowed me, and I was pretty bitter about it.
Yeah. So, pretty big nerfs. And then, Jimmy, what happened later?
The 2 days after that, they're like, hey, the bionic grenade impact damage and healing reverted to light values.
Yeah, you said 2 days after that, not 2 weeks, not two months.
Two days.
Barely even 2 days on the PTR. And oh my gosh, they have to snap their fingers and instantly revert it back.
This isn't the only one that got hurt, though, because I thought Zenyatta had some good changes. The Orbit Discord was able to target enemies through barriers. Yeah, that was a little too
overpowered. So, yeah, they did take that back. They did revert that change. So you can no longer throw your orb on targets behind barriers, which I think is a good change. I think that was way too crazy beforehand. I don't really know why they thought that would actually work out, but... I don't know.
They just wanted Zenyatta to be more on par with Lucio and Anna.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I think they did that's honestly what I think they did. And they realized like, oh, but he also does just a ton of damage.
But hey, guess what? Zenyatta probably would have been on par with Anna if you had kept the changes. I don't know. Maybe that had been done. All in all, even though I'm complaining about them reverting the changes, it's not the changes that I'm necessarily complaining about. It's how fast they did it. Because if you look at his post, he said, you know, we were running the numbers on the PTR. All of the data that we got from the PTR, you know, pointed to that she was too nerfed now, that she was too vulnerable to flank attacks because Anna doesn't heal herself. So when you nerf her grenade, you're nerfing her only viable heal other than med packs and another support. So I understand that, you know, she couldn't take care of Genjis and Tracers and stuff like that. But the fact that this is the first time that Blizzard has reverted a change as fast as they ever have with Anna, a character that has been incredibly overpowered for not one season, not two seasons, but like 2.5 seasons. It just blows my mind that they reverted it that fast. I really don't know how.
I disagree. I'm gonna go, Jimmy. I want to hear your thoughts, but I'm gonna disagree with the Mercy main for a second. No, no bias, clearly. And it's not even about the Ana nerfs itself, but it's about the agility of the Overwatch team. Blizzard in general is famous for the community saying you aren't quick enough with changes. When something doesn't work, you aren't quick enough to turn it off. This is the Overwatch team saying, hey, you know what? Sometimes we'll keep things up for weeks on the PTR that you think are fine. And sometimes we'll keep it up for 2 days. We can be quick and we can make these decisions quickly. And there's a lot going on that makes those decisions happen. So I love this. And again, right now, all this nerf really does now is she can't two-shot 150 health heroes, right? And she can't three-shot 200 health heroes. And so that's nice.
Yeah, her nerf is still a good nerf. That damage was still a necessary nerf. I think my bitterness comes from oh, now you want to all of a sudden fast, quick, something that's overpowered on the PTR and not push it to live? Because what did you do with Bastion? He was on PTR. Everybody said that he was way too strong, mm-hmm. and they still pushed him to live. And he was on the PTR for more than 2 days. So why all of a sudden did they flip a switch at Blizzard and how they're doing things with the PTR? And they're
on the PTR. They changed him on live.
Oh, well,
2 days after he launched, 2 days after that patch went live.
But that was two or 3 days. That was more an aspect of not enough people played it on PTR. They weren't confident.
But
with
if not enough people played it on PTR in the weeks that Bastion was on there, how did enough people play Ana in the 2 days that she
because
was able to get enough data?
Another person got to nerfed Orisa. That's why people are on the PTR, I think.
Oh, you know, that's a good point, because there's a brand new character. So maybe there's a huge population on the PTR that they were able to get a lot more data in a shorter span of time than they were with Bastion. That's a good point.
Like a lot more people playing their mains when they couldn't lock into Orisa fast enough. So
yeah, that's a good point.
But the things we did talk about last week, Orisa... the magazine size got lowered by 50, which was something we had.
I think John called it. Yeah. John
really talked about that. But
now all they need to do now is change the cost of her alternate fire to consume ammo as well. That's the only thing they need to do. And then I am the new Jimmy Domus.
There you go. But yeah, the supercharger as well, cost increased by 15%. So
Jeff Kaplan did come out and say with the Ana nerfs, that just because they reverted the changes doesn't mean that that's all they're going to do. They're still looking at potentially nerfing her in other ways. They just wanted to revert the harsh nerf to her grenade back to test, I guess, the damage nerf to see where she is when the nade is still its normal capacity to then know how to go forward on her. So he did say that they are still looking at making changes to her. So we'll see if any other nerfs come back out. I think just all the bitterness comes with how fast they reverted those changes to Ana after her being crazy for months.
I have a conspiracy theory. Can we put our tinfoil hats on for a second?
All right, let's put them on.
Put them on. You guys haven't put them on yet. I'm going to need you to... There it is. Jimmy, did you bring... That's a way too big of a tinfoil hat, my friend. So...
We're talking about Blizzard here, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think that what they did is they noticed that Jimmy was, he was able to take their previous track record so well and convert them into strong predictions. They're like, you know what? F it. We're just going to make a bunch of bogus changes and change it. It's like when I worked at Apple, what they would do, like there's stories, myths, and legends about how it, they would put engineers on fake projects for weeks or months or even years just to see if they would talk about it before bringing them into the real product. it's the same thing. It's like
it's such an
we're just throwing people off the scent at this point. people are getting too smart. But in all seriousness, what I actually think it is I do think that despite the community wanting to put the Blizzard across all their games, but specifically for Overwatch, development team in a box of this is how they do things, and like everything is done through a flowchart. This is the Overwatch team also saying, like, nah, if it's immediately wrong, if it's wrong fast, we'll change it fast. If it's wrong slow, we'll change it slow. And like even then, like the stuff with Bastion, a lot of it is like, we need to force more players to play this way. We need to force more people to see if like that, if we can coordinate that. And if it doesn't work, cool, we'll revert it. But we want Bastion to fulfill this role. And how do we get him there? Sometimes maybe it's over-tuning. I don't know. So I don't know. I think this is interesting overall. But yep, Jeff Goodman talked about justifying some of the nerfs as well. He did a good job of it. Oh, yeah. By the way, congratulations to Overwatch at the DICE Awards. Winning. They won Game of the Year. And what else do you guys remember?
I just remember Game of the Year.
It's the only one that matters, right? Yeah. It's like when you get MVP, but your team doesn't win the Super Bowl. It's like, cool, great. Thanks, 2-12 Minnesota Vikings. So 2-14. There's 16 games. Carl, I know how many games are in an NFL season. Mm-hmm. Shut it. Shut it down right now. But 2-12. Right? No, now I'm... All right. Because you have two buys,
this is why we
right?
host a There's video game podcast. Weeks,
but you have two buys. So it would be 2-12. Oh my God. This is the worst podcast people have ever listened to in their life. All right.
Yikes.
So do you know how I kind of abused Shadow to help level my my alt?
Mm-hmm. We all know.
There are also people who do things far worse and dastardly than that. And that is people are already abusing the custom game browser to farm XP. Have you guys seen some like the videos and GIFs and stuff on Reddit about like, here's what it looks like to play custom games in Overwatch?
No, I haven't.
You haven't really?
I haven't seen anything game browser related. I haven't watched any clips or read any threads about it or anything.
All it is
going to the game browser. There's some fun titles for games there. That's all I'll say.
When I was reading the thread that we originally talked about, he even mentioned, you know, don't even name
don't even game joke browser about it. Like,
something, even if you're jokingly saying, you know, come here to AFK and still earn XP, don't even joke and name that. So I did.
Don't even name that, like, not farming XP.
Yeah. I didn't infer that people were naming it crazy, but I haven't actually seen any crazy names or watched any clips. I just knew that people were doing it. I think John is looking it up.
It's bad. I'm like, I want to find you. I found an amazing GIF on Reddit that was perfect for it. Basically, it was, here's what it looks like to find a game, and all it is XP farming, and they're promising a certain amount, a certain number per hour. And
so how exactly did they get through that in the rules? I'm assuming they set up some limitations in the rules that allowed you to not get kicked after a certain amount of time of inactivity.
There's not an AFK timer in custom games. I think I can't remember if there's not one or if there's a very loose one. I want to say that there's not one. And one of the first steps that they're taking is they're going to give you the option to add one. So because it affected other people's custom games too, or people would just, you know, I just want to play Tumbleweed McCree, and instead I got four people AFKing in my lobby. You know, like there's definitely an aspect like that as well. But basically, Jeff laid down the hammer. I've never been scolded like Jeff Kaplan scolded me in this.
Oh my gosh. He said, "I'm all disappointed in you, and this is why we can't have nice things."
What he said,
"I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Like, I gave you guys the benefit of the doubt to not do this. We decided to let you see if you could handle
this responsibility.
This responsibility, and not exploit something in the game. And you basically disappointed all of us."
What you're saying? Can you say that again? But over this.
Oh my God.
Not angry. Just disappointed. We gave you this custom server browser. We wanted you to enjoy your custom games instead. You went behind not your friend's back, but my back. And you said, I'm going to farm this XP no matter what Jeff Kaplan says. That's what it sounded like to me. That's exactly.
That was actually perfect.
Thank you. So, it was Jeff, Daddy Jeff here. Like,
we let him down.
Papa Jeff. Let's not call him Daddy, please.
Can we not call him? Yeah, can we? Papa Jeff. Papa Jeff.
But you know, like when you were at your friend's house and they misbehaved and you were kind of helping them with it by not telling on them and like you apologized too. Like, after that, I'm like, Jeff, I'm sorry. There were probably people on my friends list who abused this, and I didn't say anything. That's how good Jeff did at making me feel bad about other people XP farming. This is a pretty tough message from Jeff, don't you think, Jimmy? Yeah. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
he was still thrown by the daddy comment, so he had to tune back in. He had to get back into the podcast. Yes, John. Yes,
traumatized.
Oh yeah, I see. You're typing to Twitch chat is what you're doing. Fair enough.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyways, but like,
and I had myself muted, so it was awkward. I've ruined everything. I'm sorry.
Whenever Jeff signs his forum posts with dash Jeffrey with a lowercase J, I know we're in trouble. that's what I look for. But like, that's this funny. Was this was pretty harsh coming from Jeff, right? Like, am I the only one who feels that?
No, it was it, and which Blizzard has always, and Jeff, they've always been super outspoken about, we are not letting someone exploit this game. We are taking it very seriously. We know that in Korea, it's a big deal. We are taking active steps to not doing this. Even in the changes to the experience that you get from 1 to 100 and then past 100, they've always made it very clear that, and then when people would stop at 100 for a new seasonal event, and then they would exploit the first, what was it, 20 levels? I think it was 20 or 25 for that super fast XP to get 25 quick loot boxes. They've always been very against that and very vocal in that they don't want people to do that. So I think it was just that we hadn't seen that side of Jeff Kaplan in a little while. Everything else had been cheery and lighthearted, except for that Bastion post that he posted a couple weeks ago. But other than that, everything has been pretty joking, light, sarcastic remarks, and I just think that we hadn't seen that side in a while.
Just be glad we're all protected from his wrath by Blizzard PR, because if you've seen his old posts from EverQuest days, there would have been very different language in this post.
Heard the stories.
You can go look those up if you like. If you're under 18, have your parents look at it with you to see if it's appropriate.
Hey, by the way, have I showed you my shirt that I got today? It's Hanzo's.
All right. Well,
I'm a Hanzo main now.
Okay. So you know that experiment that we were gonna do together?
I need a damage boosting mercy on me, please.
Oh my gosh!
I'm gonna have to stay tight out of that.
We could probably AFK if you just like find a piece of tape to hold down your right click and just stand in one place. That's really all I need you to do.
Gotcha. The only cereal I care about in Overwatch is Lucio's.
Mm. Oh yeah. Lucio's are the best. Forget Hanzo's.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Hey, can we get back on track, please?
No.
Jeez.
I think we're having fun.
Let's talk about esports. This is the Overwatch.
No,
that is not right.
This is not.
Oh.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
It's been 9 days, okay, guys? It's been a long time. We didn't have a well met this week. I haven't pushed the buttons in almost 2 weeks. It's got to cut me a little slack here. Anyways, we've got quite a bit of Overwatch esports news for you. But first, this is pretty exciting. Remember how up and excited we were on Hammers Esports? Well, yes. We weren't the only ones, and the other people who were had money. So Luminosity shakes things up with their rosters, and they signed the whole Hammers Esports squad. So they now have two squads. They have LG Loyal and then LG Evil, which is formerly Hammers Esports. So that's Jake, Train, Vol, Super, Rob 420, Avast, and Precision. What, again, one of my favorite, and in my opinion, one of the strongest NA rosters that we have. They all, right. And so, of course, because, yeah. They also, so the Hammers Esports. So what Hammers apparently is doing is they're developing and grabbing these amazing B-tier players who are playing higher at a higher level, or they're nurturing them up to that. And they're doing that because they signed the Chavs, who is a pretty well-known, I believe they're based out of the UK. They're based out of the UK mostly for the roster, and picked up a new roster almost immediately, probably with the money that they got from LG. And so Hammers Esports is now the roster that's formerly the Chavs. But how good at, I'm gonna make a bold statement. LG Evil is better than LG Loyal. Rosh, agree or disagree?
Agree.
Jimmy,
agree.
What do you think?
I agree as well. They have a better track record, I feel like.
I think so too. I mean, they've played so well and they've won against so many teams. I mean, they basically beat every NA team at any point. You can make the argument that Envious is an NA team, but they're over in Korea losing to Korean teams right now. So you're right. The last step for them is to play a team like Envious. But besides that, like, I can't think of many rosters that are going to be much better than...
Yeah, and the fact that Hammer Esports is the original team, the now LG Evil team, is so new and is already knocking on Envious and Rogue's door for this skill. It's actually kind of crazy. So who knows what time we'll give them. One thing that will be interesting is to see the Chavs and see how much of this new LG Evil roster... How much talent was the coaching and the direction that Hammers Esports was giving them, and how much was the actual team? Because if Hammers Esports, the new Hammers Esports, technically the Chavs, their roster, if they come up and they start winning these crazy games and showing this talent, it's going to make it seem like it's the coaching and how that they're preparing this team. Because if they're taking this B team roster, and now all of a sudden this B team roster is performing like an A team roster, it's got to be something that they're doing over there with practice or scrims or whatever they're doing internally at that team. So I think it'll be interesting to see the correlation between the two.
Cool. What do you think, Jimmy Damas here? Like, how do you feel about Hammers Esports? They're like the Minnesota Twins of baseball. Except for the
Overwatch.
The 2010s, not so much. But like in the 2000s, the Twins were the ones who would, they would develop a lot of great talent, get them at a discount, lose the first round of the playoffs, and then make a bunch of money off of those awesome players who just, you know, it's like a Moneyball all over again. Do you think they're more like that? Or do you think that they got really lucky with the roster? Do you think they're going to get lucky again?
I think they got lucky with the roster, but we'll have to see. I mean, until there's more
in the chat, data is a good roster on this, though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't deny that, but.
And the thing we'll is, I agree. Yeah, I do think that there is some kind of luck because you can have the best coaching and the best direction in the world in the back room.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have, and with Overwatch, with it being so team related and so heavy on coordinating with your team members, if you have one mediocre player in there, it's going to show. And how well Hammers Esports performed, they didn't really show that link. So yeah, I have to agree there. I think there was some luck in getting the roster, but I think also a big portion of that also probably goes to the coaching staff. So I think that we'll see that too with the Chavs.
Well, and coaching in Overwatch is something that's kind of been hotly contested.
Yeah.
And it's not like in sports, like there's no such thing as a sports team without a coach, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no such thing, but in esports, it's, I would say borderline normal. That teams don't have coaches. They have just one guy on the team who kind of takes on that responsibility.
Okay, I want to comment a little bit about this just because, I mean, this isn't Overwatch necessarily, but in Heroes last weekend, there was the Western Clash and Dignitas went on to win that tournament, but they brought on a former player on as a coach. Yeah. And I think that really helped them secure that championship. And I think this will be a great thing in Overwatch. Should they allow coaches? Because there, I mean, there's all sorts of discussion on both sides of the coin. Are coaches a good thing? Are coaches a bad thing? It, like, are coaches taken away from the skill of the players that they have to be knowledgeable about certain things? And I'm on the pro coach side because I think it just adds a whole nother level of depth to the game. And I know, I think it was CSGO that kind of backed off a bit on coaches. I think they just can't be a part of the comms during the games themselves. But they
League.
Yeah.
League, the coaches can't be there during the game. They can be there before to give them advice and to
kind of. Yeah, I mean, that's that guide was the same them. In Heroes. I mean, yeah. It wasn't like John Crane was on comms with them talking during the match. That would be different. That would be interesting if they decided to go that way.
Well,
I like, guess it's like that in sport, traditional sports, I guess. So you're not really, there's not a basketball coach telling people how to play necessarily during the game. I mean, I guess they can yell a certain play or something like that. Yeah,
them, sure. Let me know how effective that is. And I guess the Patriots did some great stuff with play calling back in the day for some Super Bowls. But, with you know, besides balls? That. What's that?
Deflated balls?
Exactly. Exactly. It's exactly the same thing. Who do you think is unplugging all the mice when Envious plays a Korean team, right? Like that's what happens. That's what the coach's job is during the time, is you go unplug the Korean team's mic right before a big team fight that you're not prepared for via Ultimates. That's how that works. So I think it's really interesting to see. I would love to see, like, I personally think that coaches always have to be beneficial in one way or another when they've got clear direction on what an esports coach is, right? Because it's not easy. It's even like a football coach. What a football coach does and what the players do is very different. In esports, traditionally, it's not as different in quite a few different games. Now, there are definitely some that have matured beyond that. And, you know, it very much is watching a lot of film, giving you the scouting on here's how this other team plays and here's what they do. But it's going to be interesting to see. So best of luck to LG Evil and the new Hammers esports squad. I think this next piece is pretty exciting, though. So Washington, D.C. and NRG have partnered up to bring esports to the District of Columbia. And this is a pretty big deal. What they've done is they're going to be a part of a new arena that's going to cost $65 million and seat 4,200. So about 10% the size of like a traditional MLB or NFL stadium. So not huge by any means, but when you have a team like the Twins, you only sit 4,200 anyway. So
yeah, and it's esports. They're building this for esports. Yes, it'll host the Mystics there in Washington.
It's a WNBA team for everybody who doesn't watch WNBA. So literally everybody who listens to this show.
Yeah, the structure of it though is for bringing esports to DC, and that's huge. So even though it's just 4,200 seats, that's a gigantic step in the future of esports. And they tiptoed around Overwatch League. So just adding all of this is just, if you're a gamer and you like watching video games, this is incredible news. This is huge, especially if you like Overwatch, let alone what this opens up for every other huge esports game. So it's big news.
I'm not aware of any, and Jimmy can probably correct me on this because he's like the esports guy. I'm not aware of any NA specific esports structures, arenas. Like there's lots of like gaming and things like that, but like of 4,200 people, it's like in my experience, people just rent out like you know, big conference centers and stuff and civic centers in cities. Versus, you know, having something dedicated. There's like esports arena, but that's not nearly that size. You're talking maybe 1,000 at that point.
Yeah, probably.
And that's if you like totally pack it out and like, hey, we're gonna have a big event here. But to have an actual arena dedicated, most in a large part to esports and the WNBA. Don't laugh. Don't laugh when I say WNBA. That's rude. I'm just kidding. That was me laughing in the microphone. You can hate me for it. Okay. Fair enough. Whatever. Done. Fine. Good. Jimmy, you're the esports guy. Is this a big deal for esports, Overwatch, more one or the other? What do you think?
This is a huge deal for esports as a whole. I mean, I don't see them building this facility and be like, only Overwatch can be played here. I mean, if a company comes up to them and is like, hey, we want to have our championships here, they're absolutely going to do it. And it's a big enough venue. You can have other stuff there as well that are not esports related, like concerts, whatever. But yeah, this is big for esports. Having dedicated facilities for events like this are going to be awesome. I mean, obviously we've had stuff like the Dota Championships at up in Seattle at I forget which arena that is, and we've also had League all over the place at like Staples Center. But having something like this that's built from the ground up to support esports is going to be really good, because the infrastructure for something like esports is going to be different from a traditional sport. You're going to need a lot more wiring and cabling, and your network infrastructure is going to have to be vastly different. It's very forward thinking, I think, to be getting in on the ground floor of something like this. And I'm not as concerned as I initially was, because in the sense that we had this kind of bubble 6, 7, 8 years ago with like CGS and WCS and all these other organizations, and that just blew up and everyone was like, oh, esports is dead, it's never coming back. But we are, I think, because of the people, just the overall scope of esports, the people getting involved in investing now makes me feel that it's much more of a positive outlook than it once was.
We can't go more than a week without a major sports organization or city sponsoring esports in one way or another.
I think that a lot of it is because the generation that was really into video games and stuff like that is growing up. They're getting older. So now
making
it's like
money,
they're
getting paid.
Yeah, they're leading this way into
getting
the future.
Getting out of
and
their mom's basements.
Exactly. Exactly. It's kind of cool, because if you look at esports and the events that have been held in NA, even League, one of the biggest esports next to CSGO, like, they're even in a way borrowing actual sports entertainment venues like the Staples Center and the Seattle Stadium. Whereas with this building, it's like making its own place, like it's putting its footprint into the scene, and it's its own staple in the whole scene. So instead of having to borrow off of traditional sports venues, they're going to have its own, and that's just going to be the future. DC is going to do it. And I mean, if there's one in DC, there's going to be one in LA with how many hubs are there with esports and how many teams are centered around LA. I wouldn't give it too long before you hear something about plans for something like that in LA as well.
And
so I think it's huge.
I think the ultimate vision of Overwatch League makes stuff like this more and more reality, right?
I agree.
There will definitely be a period, maybe like the next 10 years, where it'll very much be esports and the WNBA, right? Or esports and the collegiate swimming championships. You know, that kind of like ESPN 3 type events. But I think as it continues to grow, like, people, there's no more, it used to be kind of a soft topic for jocks and sports to talk about video games in the same breath out of anything, but like, right. And now it's very much like, hey, can we have some of that bunch of money too, please?
I want
a slice of that. So yeah, I think it's really interesting. I'm really excited to see what's going on. Okay, last but not least, before we got to get out of here. So Apex Season 2, we're in the playoffs now. Dang, dudes.
Rip.
Really, Korea? You couldn't give us just a year? You couldn't just give us a year of like, hey, you know what? Be on top. So Envious has been eliminated. Apex is now an all Korean tournament the rest of the way. Jimmy, on a scale from pretty sad to gonna go break your neighbor's windows, how sad are you?
Oh, somewhere in between there. Maybe I'll just tap on my neighbor's windows because I'm upset. No, I'm really sad that this is already happening. This happens in every single esport. Is NA and EU look pretty strong at the beginning, and then Korea figures out the game, and So we're seeing that happen here. Hopefully this is a fluke, but I don't think it is.
I don't know, because season one was the same thing. I wanted so badly for an NA team, or just not a Korean team, to win this Apex 2. So I don't know. And looking at how they lost, looking at the games that Envious and Cloud9 played when they did lose, the skill gap seems pretty big. It doesn't seem like it was a close call at all. It still seems like there's a pretty big skill gap between the Korean teams and the NA teams. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe season three will be a little closer, and then maybe season four we can take a title. I don't know. We'll see. But there was still a pretty big gap in the NA and Korea teams this season for Apex.
Yeah, it was definitely really weird. And, you know, something I kind of said, I'm like, dudes, they have to, the last week of the season, like, they have to bring out a win, because they just got, they just lost to, forget who it was. Was it like Lunatic High, I think, was in there?
I don't even remember. I've watched so many games.
Yeah, right? I watched that Lunatic High one. It was sad.
But I'm like, man, that was rough. If they don't win this next week, they're just done. They're just going to be done. There's no way that, they're in a, kind of an emotional team. You saw this with Taimu time and time again. You know, he got the highlight reel. If you guys haven't, go type in like Taimu Widowmaker Apex Season 2 and watch the montage of Apex. Taimu just going just nuts on Widowmaker. I think we've talked about it on this show before. And, you know, but at the same time, there's an opposite side of that coin. That coin is, mm-hmm. when he's not landing those shots, he's missing those hooks and things start to snowball.
So you can emotions. Tell. Yeah.
It ends up being, you know, kind of really rough. And so while Envious, like, I mean, they dominated the first part of that, of you know, the group stages and all of that. And only at the very end did they begin to falter. And I think, was it Lee Dejong who said it? One of the really well-known Korean players said, Envious will not win this tournament because their hero pool is too small. They aren't familiar with enough heroes. At one point, Harry Hook was on Zarya, mm-hmm. which, you know, Harry Hook, like, no, Harry Hook's a soldier player and he used to play Lucio. If he's not playing soldier or Lucio, and he hasn't really been, you know, it's kind of that thing where they have a very small hero pool, and you're seeing these Korean teams come through who are, it's like where you're looking at Flower, and I forget, I think he changed his name again. Where he plays like, oh, I play one of six heroes. Sure, I'm only best in the world at three of them, but I can play six. You don't see that from Envious nearly as much. And I think that their narrow hero pool is what really bit them in the butt.
And, yeah, I agree.
And caused it to. But also another thing where it's like, I kind of hope that we get some sort of balance in the game, because sometimes, you know, we went from a 4-tank meta to a 3-tank meta to now we see a 2- and 3-tank meta where we'll see them switch between the two. And how healthy is that overall between, you know, a multi-week tournament? I think there's merits both ways, right? Like, you don't just want a super stagnant, you know, game, but at the same time, if the Patriots aren't winning every year and they're doing the same thing, the same play, and they just found a way to quote unquote break the meta and then play those heroes better, is that really an engaging and healthy esport? So I really want to see kind of what happens going further, especially with Envious. I'm really excited right now. My NA hope is NRG with some of these, now with IDD, Cutie, and Siegel and Numlocked, all they're on the same team. I'm like, dang, they might be really good. If they can play together, I think that they could be really good.
That's obviously a pretty high hope. But I mean, yeah, there's potential there. They just really have to figure out a way to make it click and then stick with it. They've made so many changes that they just need some consistency, and there's potential there.
Right. Well, oh, geez.
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
I think we got to get out of here. There's a couple of things we want to talk about. Again, another one of those things where we want to talk a little bit more about climbing the ranked ladder, but just not enough time. We want to give time for that. And we were a couple days late, so we had a couple days of news. So I'm guessing next week we'll have a good amount of time to talk about climbing the ladder. And hopefully Rosh feels well enough that we can play these placements and talk a little bit about it from that angle as well. So let's go ahead and get out of here. First, I think we've got Patreon. Jimmy, what's going on there?
Yeah, well, first of all, we always want to thank our wonderful MVPs, Shadow, J.A. Coral, Tommy H., and Liam O. Thank you all so, so very much. And we really appreciate your support. If you like the show as well and would like to show your support of the show, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and find out everything about our Patreon. All the reward tiers there are all laid out. All the details, we send out messages all the time to you guys to keep you up to date. And we thank you guys for your support. We're almost to that $200 merch store. Just help us get over to that edge.
Awesome. What about iTunes reviews, Rosh?
5-star reviews help us a ton on a week-to-week basis. So, muchas gracias to Opposing Ed, Serna89, and Sir Twitches. Yes, Sir Twitches. And even bigger thanks for having super easy to pronounce names. I appreciate it. It makes my job here at the payload a lot easier. So, I appreciate you. Thank you. If you haven't left one yet, a 5-star review, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and do our shout outs for the week and where people can find you, and we'll get out of here. Jimmy, you're up first.
Yeah, I'm at the GG Tyrant on Twitter and Twitch. I streamed some Overwatch this last week, so I'll probably be streaming some more as I attempt to climb up the ladder in competitive. So join me there. Make sure you follow and get alerts as to when I go live.
Awesome. And that's DJ Tyrant, right? DJ Tyrant on everything. Yeah.
Yep, pretty much. Yep.
All right, Rosh, what about you?
Well, this week, no major huge shout outs because I've been sick and in bed, but I will be doing my main placements on my main account and we'll be doing some grinding on that. And then we're also going to do placements for John and I. So if you are interested in his and my new experiment that we've come up on our fresh 25 accounts that haven't even seen ranked or touched it or felt it or done anything with ranked at all, you can catch it at my stream. It is twitch.tv/okayitsrosh. And you can also follow me on Twitter at F2K_okayitsrosh.
And all those links and things are in the show notes as well. So if you're like, how do I spell Rosh? It's not R-A-U-S-C-H. It's R-O-S-H. Okay, cool. As for me, you can find me everything at Kicked Tripod. I'm streaming a lot. Take whatever these guys stream, combine it, multiply it by two, because this last week I did that. I streamed almost 60 hours this week. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun hanging out, and I would love it if you would stop by and say, hey, so twitch.tv/kicktripod is where I'm going to be. And I think that we're not going to do the placements things tonight. So I think I'm just going to be streaming over right after the show at twitch.tv/kicktripod. Come on by, stop on by, and let's hang out and have fun. All right. As for me, as for us, thank you for tuning in to episode 60 of The Payload. Send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We record live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And yeah, that's about it. Don't forget those 5-star iTunes reviews, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us for episode 60. We'll see you next week.